Well, this is the week of our national holiday called Thanksgiving. Mr. Holliday, the present president of United Church of God at the home office in Cincinnati, has a letter. We have, every 2 weeks there is a letter sent out to the ministry to make copies of for the churches from the president to give updates. And in this letter, Mr. Holliday talks about Thanksgiving, among other things. Just read what he wrote about it. It says, in the United States, we will be celebrating a national holiday of Thanksgiving next week. The early settlers realized that the bounty and blessings they were able to enjoy were because of God's hand. This observance is an annual reminder that every good thing comes from God. Of course, we as Christians know that we need to thank God on a regular daily basis, remembering His mercy and His love to us. As our ways please Him, those blessings will continue individually and as a nation. An important part of us remembering God is to thank Him for what He has given us personally and collectively as a nation. So you might want to pick up a copy of this letter if you would like to read it. He does talk about prophecy. Certainly fits in with what Bob was giving us so well in that sermonette today of the times in which we live, the things we need to be concerned about. Many of you may know a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving. I'd like to review it very briefly for you in case you've forgotten. This is from an article in the newspaper. It says, although the time and the date of the very first Thanksgiving may be uncertain, there is no question but that this treasured custom derives from our Judeo-Christian heritage. A band of settlers arriving in Maine in 1607 held a service of thanks for their safe journey. And 12 years later, in 1619, settlers in Virginia set aside a day of thanksgiving for their survival. And in 1621, Governor William Bradford created the most famous of all such observances at Plymouth Colony when a bounteous harvest prompted him to proclaim a special day to, quote, render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for His abundant blessings. And then during the Civil War, during our Civil War with Britain in 1777, the Continental Congress set aside a day for thanksgiving and praise. And the following year, upon hearing news that France was coming to our aid in our Civil War, George Washington prescribed a special day of thanksgiving. Revolutionary War. Am I saying Civil War? Well, thank you all that you know history better than I do. A Revolutionary War, of course. George Washington, as our first president, responded when he heard that France was going to come to our aid. He responded to a congressional petition by declaring Thursday, November the 26th, 1789, as the first Thanksgiving Day of the United States of America. But maybe you remember this part of history about Thanksgiving. I always found this especially encouraging or rewarding or interesting, at least, that during the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, it was the tireless crusade of one woman named Sarah Hale, who was editor of a magazine for ladies called Godeys, I'm not sure how that was pronounced, a national publication of a ladies' magazine. And in her editorials, it was her editorials that finally led Abraham Lincoln to do what he did. Finally led to the establishment of this day that we're going to be keeping on Thursday as Thanksgiving Day, as an annual nationwide observance. Her editorials so touched the heart of Abraham Lincoln that in 1863, even in the midst of the horrible Civil War, brother against brother and family against family, North and South, He enjoined his countrymen during this civil war to be mindful of their many blessings, the blessings of Almighty God. And so it was President Lincoln who proclaimed the last Thursday in November as a national day of thanksgiving and praise to God. Now, we kind of forget that part of it, but that it was set aside as a national day of acknowledging God as our provider and blesser, but a national day of thanksgiving and praise. That needs to be put in there as well. Thanksgiving and praise. And all presidents of the United States have followed this tradition ever since. So if you look in the paper this coming week, you will see a message from President George Bush somewhere in the paper before Thanksgiving. Every president since Abraham Lincoln has written about this, and I've saved them every year. I look for this article in the newspaper by the president acknowledging God, who is our provider and blesser in America. And this one happened to be that article one year where it was more in depth about the history. So look for that this coming week. If you take a newspaper, and you'll find this proclamation from the President of the United States regarding a day of thanksgiving and praise to God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Why is it so important to be thankful and to praise God? What happens to people who become ungrateful for what they have? And how can we, as God's people, develop a better attitude of thanksgiving? Can we improve? Can we be more thankful and offer God better praise in our lives for our blessings, including our trials? So we're going to talk today about our blessings, and we'll be taking a look at trials in our lives as Christians. A real estate agent once told me this, and I'm sure every one of you have heard this about real estate. He once told me that the three most important things in buying a home are location, location, location. Maybe you've heard that. Well, in being a Christian, I believe that the three most important things are attitude, attitude, attitude. And I've seen that over the years, that Christians who understand the importance of attitude before God, that's a frame of mind, that's an attitude of heart. It's a perspective on things toward life and toward God and what we go through in life. It's called attitude. What is our attitude? You know, we use that term, don't we? Yeah, they've got an attitude. And you meet people with different attitudes, don't you? An attitude is a spirit that is projected from an individual. And you know when you're in the presence of somebody who's negative or critical or angry. That just emanates from us. We can't hide those things. That is part of us. Attitude, attitude, attitude is what is most important. And we'll take a look at that today, especially at this aspect of the attitude called thankfulness toward God. Why is it so important? What does God say about it? And are we as thankful as we should be? Do we thank God daily and praise Him every single day the way we should? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 22. We'll take a look back here at some of the things, interesting things in the Old Testament about this subject. Leviticus chapter 22, and notice verse 29. You know that Leviticus talks about the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices that God gave to His people Israel to offer to Him. All kinds of sacrifices. There was sin, a lot of sin sacrifices, sacrifices for sin. But notice this one in Leviticus 22, verse 29. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. So the Israelites had many sacrifices to offer, and some were absolutely required. But then there was one called a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, which they could offer anytime they wanted to of their own free will. Kind of interesting, isn't it? We'll take a look at this as we move through. It's an interesting what God shows us and reveals to us in His Word. Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22. So to Psalm 107, here's another one. Verses 21 and 22, Psalm 107. Verse 20. And He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now verse 22. This is the one verse that I want to point out especially. And it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. So what we're going to begin to see, which this verse begins to reveal and other ones do, that the Bible looks upon when we go before God, when we take the time during our busy lives and during our day, whenever you stop and offer praise to God or thanks to God, the Bible calls it a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's looked upon by God like as in the Old Testament when the Israelites would come and perform a free will offering just to thank God. So whenever you pause during the day, during your busy life, anytime during the day, you may do it on your knees in your prayer closet or at home in your bedroom in your formal praise and worship of God. I don't know where you pray privately, how you do it, when. We all maybe have a different place, a different time of the day where we get down on our knees if we're able to kneel. Some have difficulty because of pain, but God understands that if they can't. But for those of us who can kneel before God, we do and should. But where you get down and just get down and lift up your hands to God and begin to praise and thank you, God, that I have this privilege, that I have this blessing of knowing you and knowing you want me to come to you. How much we have. It's so easy to get down on your knees and just acknowledge God and His mercy and His grace in our lives and to thank Him and praise Him, a sacrifice to God. Let's see how the New Testament even talks about that in Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Referring back to these things in the Old Testament. Hebrews writes a lot, as you know, about the temple and tabernacle and sacrifices and the duties of the Levites. It was written to the Jews, and therefore it covers a lot of that. Hebrews chapter 13, notice verse 15. Hebrews 13:15, where Paul wrote, therefore, by Him, or through Him, through Christ, in His name, by His authority, we come to God, don't we? We always come to God. I always like to say, oh, Father, thank you that you have allowed me and given me the permission and privilege of coming to you directly through Jesus Christ because of Him and what He did. He died for me and tore that veil in two, and washed away our sins and opened the avenue and means and instructed us when He was on earth to pray directly to you, our Father in heaven. That's what this is mean. Therefore, by Him, because of Him, through Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, He went on to say, what is that? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. So think about that, brethren. Now, how many times during the day do you, from the fruit of your lips, rather than uttering curse words in anger or frustration, you know, we're human beings, hit your finger with a hammer, or you're sitting in the traffic on the freeway, you know, we're all human and imperfect, aren't we? Catch yourself before you utter some other word. Catch yourself and utter, God, help me. And from the fruit of your lips, give thanks to God. that you're alive, to feel pain, and to get into a traffic jam. Whatever, you know, you can apply this very important principle. It does change your attitude and it changes your focus. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. How many times a day, if you could write it down, not that you have to, but how many times a day do you think you offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to God? Be interesting, wouldn't it, to know? God knows. He knows which of us in here today is a person who is very thankful. And all during the day, whenever we have that opportunity, we're remembering to just thank you, God, for helping me through this day. And let's look at something that I find fascinating and interesting. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles. It's how David organized Levitical priesthood, and probably the way it's going to be in the kingdom of God when Christ returns. We're going to have an awful lot more music and more instruments. Let's just see what David did. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16. And we're going to see that the whole purpose of having hundreds of Levites who could sing, and oh, it's speculated that Wales in England, that a lot of Levites are there, a lot of the descendants of Levi settled in Wales. I don't know if you've ever been to Wales in England and heard them sing. You've heard the Welsh, of the Welsh choirs and all. They're just gifted in that way. Well, God chose the tribe of Levi because He created them, and they were gifted in many, many different ways. And one of them certainly was musically. And it says here in chapter 15, verse 16, David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, cymbals, and by raising the voice with resounding joy, the New King James, it says. We have to use our imagination and just imagine. Go over to chapter 16, verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. That was the purpose for doing this. It wasn't for entertainment. It wasn't to, you know, show off before each other. The whole purpose of having the singers and the musicians and these skilled, gifted people was to thank and praise and worship God. And we come to church to worship God too. Asaph, the chief, it says there in verse 5, the latter part talks about some of the other names here. I won't read all the names, but Jeiel with stringed instruments and harps. But Asaph made music with cymbals. Benaiah and Jahaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets for the Ark of the Covenant of God. So David organized them all. And you've heard of this, of how David organized and he chose the, you know, the beautiful singers and the musicians and the instruments. And the whole purpose was just to worship and praise and thank God. And, you know, someday we're going to have more of that in the church. You know, that came up here at our congregational meeting. We talked about that a little bit. That's an area I think that we're lacking in the church, in our church. You know, we have the truth of God, the way of God, the laws of God. We understand God's great and wonderful plan of salvation for all mankind and human beings, but we're not perfect in everything. And I realize, you know, music is a very controversial area. Some people like one kind of music and other people like another, so it's hard to please everybody. But we'll know someday, that is when Christ returns, what it's going to be like. Notice in verse 7, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. So David wrote hundreds of songs. A lot of them are written down as psalms in the Old Testament. But most of what we read as psalms were songs that were sung. We just don't have the music anymore. And we don't know exactly how they were sung. But one of them is recorded right here. We're not going to read it, but it follows on, one of the songs that David wrote. And so, you know, we have, you know, two or three songs maybe, and then one and all, and we don't have enough musicians to have an orchestra and a choir, but we have certain congregations in the church, and used to, especially in past years, that were especially gifted with musicians and singers, some of the congregations. Kind of like going to a Feast of Tabernacles, where you've got a lot of people together, and you can have a festival choir and a youth choir. And some of the areas, I remember Milwaukee back there, they had tons of musicians. You know, every family and every kid learned to play an instrument growing up back there. And I remember some of the members of the church, and they were just lots of musicians. And you'd go back there, and man, here on the stage was a full orchestra, and the song leaders were all singers, and it's going to be awesome. Just imagine that someday, brethren. You know, we struggle along here in our little congregation. We do pretty well. But I just want you to think about this, that, you know, I don't think sometimes, some of you, I don't think you really put your heart into singing to God. You've got to examine your own heart, but, you know, if we stand up and we remember, why am I supposed to be doing this? Yes, I am. God's people have always. We'll look at the New Testament and see it as well. But what we're doing when we stand and sing songs is we are worshiping God, praising God, and thanking God, and giving honor and glory and praise to God. Let's look at Psalm 100 as an example of one of the songs David wrote. Psalm 100, just one short one. A lot of them he may have written as a shepherd out in the fields with the sheep, but a lot of them he also wrote as king of Israel. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise, or a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And we all know the verse that says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so, even if you can't carry a tune real well, sing out. Sing out. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Imagine singing this. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That means praise his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Beautiful, isn't it? And so we want to be God's people who are learning to be thankful people, happy people, positive people, grateful people. You cannot stay in a negative attitude if you're a happy, thankful person. People who are thankful people and grateful to be alive and thankful for their blessings, including their trials, because trials are some of God's blessings to prepare us for eternal life in the kingdom of God. Trials bring us together as a family. Trials, when they come in other people's lives, cause us to stick together and band together and reach out in love and pray for one another, support one another, and encourage one another. Trials do many things, don't they, in our lives? Let's look at the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, and here's the story of when Israel was brought back out of captivity, and they're being led by the priest Ezra and the governor, civil leader Nehemiah. Let's just look at what they did. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. Whenever there was a righteous ruler, men of God, this is what they would do when Israel was restored, when the temple was rebuilt, and the Levitical priesthood reinstituted. Nehemiah chapter 12, notice verse 1. Now these are the priests and the Levites who came up with Zerubbabel, the son of so-and-so and so-and-so here. Yeah, I can see why you're chuckling. It's hard to get all those names right, isn't it? Notice down verse 8. Moreover, the Levites were Jeshua and other names there you can read. But what I wanted to mention the latter part of that verse where it says, who led the Thanksgiving Psalms. Lots of Thanksgiving Psalms. And that's why it's good to have songs to sing. You know, you can do it at home, in the car, and that's why we do it in church. Singing songs is a wonderful way of singing praise to God. Notice verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And verse 31. And so I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed, and imagine this, two large thanksgiving choirs, one of which went to the right and the other to the left. Somewhere. Went to the left. But imagine two large thanksgiving choirs marching and walking and singing to God. Must have been awesome. Very impressive. So I hope you're a Christian who likes music, who believes in music, because we're going to have a lot of it when Christ returns in his kingdom. Notice verse 40. It says, and so the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, and likewise I and the half of the rulers with me. In verses 45 and 46. And both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification according to the commandment of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So here we are in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra, and that's all being reinstituted again. So let's move on and let's take a look now at what the New Testament tells us about this subject. Now, I don't know about you, but I surely want to be a more thankful person. I don't think we can ever come to the point where we say, look, I am always thankful from the moment I wake up in the morning until the time I go to sleep at night, and even in my dreams at night, I'm always thankful. And I always thank and praise God. There's always room, isn't there, for us to improve. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 18 through 20. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 20. It says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or NIV, such which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing praise to God in your heart and out loud, as the Bible shows as well, but begins certainly in your heart, in your mind, in your attitude. Singing praise to God. So when we remember, when we think about the fact that singing to God, speaking words to God is looked upon as a sacrifice to God, it's very motivating, very life-changing. It goes on in the next verse, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. And these verses are kind of tough, aren't they? They're easy to read. But how do you live that? How do you apply that in our lives? When you go through times that are not fun and that are hard and that are painful and difficult at times, how do you give thanks for that? Give thanks to God the Father. Who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. As I said at the beginning, you get down on your knees or driving in that car or wherever you are, when you pause, thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you for your love and helping us through everything that we've been through and being with us. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. As we'll see as we read these verses, brethren, when we begin to develop a positive attitude, that is an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude to God, whatever He allows in our lives, I know that's easy to say and hard to understand and believe and do, that whatever our state when we're called by God, whatever our condition, that we need with God's help in our lives come to the point where we can get down on our knees and know that nothing happens to us in our lives that is not allowed by God. That God, our life is in the hands of God. Not just all the good, but also all the trials and the problems that we have and all the things that He's putting us through individually and as a church, as a body, the body of Christ, the whole church. When you really truly understand and believe it, it helps through the difficult times. Notice chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. I would call these difficult scriptures, wouldn't you? Think about it. The different kinds of difficult scriptures. I have a book on the difficult scriptures in the Bible. And in the introduction, it has an interesting introduction. It goes to the hard scriptures that sometimes are hard to be understood. But it brings out some of the most difficult scriptures of the Bible are those that are the plainest and the clearest to understand and the most difficult to do, to live by. And this is one of them. Philippians 4, 6. You know what it says? Don't worry about anything. That's the first little short part of it there. Be anxious for nothing. Modern translations say, don't worry about anything. How many of you have achieved that yet? You don't get anxious. You don't worry about anything. That's our goal. That's with God's help, what we can grow toward, to where we're coming to the point in our lives we have some such complete faith and trust in God. Even through the most difficult times of our lives, we know it's going to work out okay in the long run. That's a promise of God, and we believe that. It's just sometimes dealing with the problem. Let's read on. Because the instruction from God is here, don't worry about things, but here is what to do about things, whatever it may be. In everything, with prayer and supplication. So take everything to God in prayer. Get on your knees. God is all-powerful. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing. No problem too little for God. And everything by prayer and supplication just means petitioning God, being willing to, you know, like a little child will sometimes pester a parent, you know, and just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And you know, God, we're God's little children. God, I need your help. God, I really need your help. God, I really need your help. You just keep coming to God. And you say, well, why isn't the answer right away? Because He's working with us and teaching us many lessons, isn't He? But it goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So these are the instructions of God. So the way to do it is to, in everything, every anxiety, every worry, every problem, every need, everything, you take it to God in prayer, and you begin with, thank you, Father, that I'm able to come to you with this need or trial or for this person or whatever. You know, begin with thanksgiving. Say, thank you, God. Thank you that I can bring this to you. It says, let your requests be made known to God. Then what follows is verse 7, that as we learn to do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, what that means, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? What a thankful attitude and an attitude of believing prayer, even when things seem to go bad or get worse. You see, when you're a person who believes this and you knows it's God's way and it's God's word, even when the physical circumstances of a trial or of an illness, you're still, what you're doing is you're saying, God, you have the solution. You have the answer to this problem or trial. You know what it is. And you start thanking God for the way he's going to solve the problem in your life. Instead of focusing on what it is, you say, God, I believe you. I know you're faithful. I know you are love. I know you care for me. Here's where I'm hurting. Here are my needs. Here's what I'm bringing to you for others, whatever the situation is. And I know you have the answer. And I know you're going to work it out according to your will and my good in time. And so you focus on the solution that God has and is going to set in place in your life. And however long it takes, you just keep going like many of you are doing. You keep going. Okay, let's read a couple more scriptures here. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, where Paul writes here, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. You know, live as he lived. Follow his example. Walk in him. Live in him. Trust in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Abounding in it, that means the faith, the way it is in the King James, abounding in it, the faith, with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. So what should come out of our mouths more than anything, brethren, is thanksgiving. So I just ask, are you noted? Do people look upon you and see you and think of you as this is a thankful person in our congregation? Or is it more negativism? More woe is me? You know, that's our personal choice, isn't it? Because we all have our own set of trials and difficulties and stresses in life. Everybody does. Nobody can live and be human in this life without trials and problems and stresses. Sometimes they're just different. And so we each have to make a choice of whether we're going to be a thankful person or an unthankful person, a positive person or a negative person. And thanksgiving and being this kind of a person is the key. Because you look upon life as a blessing, and even the trials as learning and growing experiences, and you thank God for them. And whenever it's tough, you know God will see you through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. I think I'll make this the last scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean we pray every second, every minute of every day. We have to work and focus and concentrate on other things. But what it means is that we pray continually, every day, and during the day, whenever you can, whenever you need to, we pray continually. But then verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So brethren, count it all joy when we have different trials, the Bible says. And 1 Peter, without turning there, it says, we greatly rejoice in our trials as God's people because we know what they're all about. We know the purpose of our trials, our difficulties. If only we could all see, if only we could visualize what God is preparing us for in his kingdom, eternal life, the responsibilities, the opportunities to serve and help. If only we could somehow capture and feel and experience in our study of God's word and in our prayer. If only we could project ourselves and see ourselves as glorified spirit beings, the children of God with Christ ruling in the kingdom of God, and look back on this human life, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fall down before God and before Christ and say, oh, thank you for preparing me for this eternal life in your kingdom. Thank you for preparing me. So in conclusion, brethren, an attitude of thankfulness for our blessings and our trials is a positive attitude. It's a converted attitude. unthankful attitudes become negative, angry, critical, and bitter. So let us choose. Let's choose. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, let us choose to thank and praise God for all of our blessings and all of our trials. And let's work together on becoming more thankful people at offering to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise.